Frontier.
Ladies and gentlemen, the following podcast is Wrestling Death and is scheduled for 1 hour. Maybe more. It has no real time limits, making their way into your ears. First, from a place called Barniston, he is the Pyramid.
It's going to be the funniest show ever because I'm all about the comedy and the money.
Baby. How much you can pay?
And his partner, Fede Tappender Stevenson.
From Mexico City to Beef Community Centre, I've got stories that are going to blow your mind.
Hello and welcome to Wrestling Daft. My name is Rab Florence. And this is the show where Rab Florence and Grado, hello Grado.
Hiya Rab.
Talk about wrestling and talk about how daft wrestling is and talk about how we're wrestling daft. And by the way, just to clarify for anybody who's new to the show that's just tuning in, doesn't know anything about wrestling, wrestling is kid on, isn't it, Grado?
Hi.
Are you allowed to say wrestling's kid on?
I don't know if I'm all. Why'd you put me under pressure like that? What if my trainer's listening to this?
Wrestling's
what if my sensei's listening to this?
Wrestling's
if the boys, I'm not saying that, man. Why would you do that to me?
It's sports entertainment. Back in the 1960s, they used to call it sports entertainment. No, they call it the graps. So that should caught up with what wrestling is. And big news, obviously, is Will Ospreay has become the New Japan champ.
It's crazy, isn't it? I thought bigger news would be that you're vaccinated and you were off last week and I had to listen to John for fucking about 3 hours. You went to shut up.
Well, I wasn't well after my vaccine. And I felt like I had the flu and I was really laid on my ass, as they would say. In the wrestling, they would say I was put on my ass for 3 days straight with a vaccine. The AstraZeneca vaccine, which they now say there is a causal link between that and blood clots.
Is there?
Yeah, but, well, this is what they seem to be suggesting, a very slim chance. So I was very brave as well. I was very brave, and I'm back. And if you want to get me something off my Amazon wish list, that would be great.
So you what version of the vaccine did you get?
It was... Version 3.
It's funny, mate. What do you mean? But what is it? AstraZeneca? What is it?
It was broken AstraZeneca. They're calling it. They're calling it the broken era AstraZeneca. Is Oxford AstraZeneca coronavirus vaccine wave 1? So I've still got to get the second jag. I've got to get the booster.
Right. It's like, because my mate the other day was talking about my beer machine. And I was going, I've got amped though, but I don't really like it. And he was going, you need to get that Pfizer. You need to get that Pfizer beer. Apparently that's shit hot. And I'm going, I've heard that. It's good. I've heard that before. And then I'm fucking looking for the internet. He meant fucking, is it Zipfel? Zipfel, the beer's called. I'm fucking typing in
Pfizer
beer.
I think this guy's wanting to drink his vaccines. He's really got a problem. This boy. I feel weird only having one hawk of the vaccine, though, you know what I mean? It feels like back when I was a wee guy, when I got a hawk LOD figure off somebody, and it's just no... It's kind of
OCD.
You know, it was cool to have a Legion of Doom, but I was kind of like, it's no the LOD yet without animal, you know what I mean? So I'll be getting my animal injected into my arm, hopefully, within the next 12 weeks. So that'll be good. So hopefully that will save me from dying from COVID. It won't protect me from many of the other diseases that I could die of, though, things like stroke, heart attack,
epilepsy.
You know, there's a multitude of ways I could die, massive kind of coronary events, cerebral hemorrhages. I mean, the list goes on. Grado, have you looked into how many things you could die of?
Aye.
It's a lot, right?
Have you ever taken Roaccutane?
Is that the telly channel? Is Roaccutane not a telly channel? Roaccutane
no,
TV?
It's the shit to get rid of your acne.
No.
You never had acne when you were a teenager, John? Did you have acne when you were a teenager?
No.
It's a thing called Roaccutane, man.
And I remember the doctor just going, this could cause heart attack, brain swelling, kind of getting more diseases, but it was a big long list of it. And it was really, really quite daunting. But I swear to God, see after a cut once I took it, I've never looked back, man. My skin's great.
You have got good skin.
I have got great skin, and I never used to, but it was because of Ashwagandhane. I remember that doctor sitting there going, brain swelling, anxiety, depression, chills, fever. And I'm always sitting there going, oh, don't know about this. But then I was really, really bad. A big part of
do you remember a wee period where a lot of wrestlers were taking tanning pills?
I injected it before that melatonin. Aye. That was really quite bad. A lot of the boys were doing it, and a lot of the boys, get really sick because of it. Really, really sick. Or at least played a part in other illnesses coming on. There's something dodgy about that. But at the time, it was like, you're young, stupid. You know, you're basically saving money by no going to the sunbeds every day. You would only maybe need to go one a week and then take the melatonin, and you're saving money on going to the sunbeds. But that was dodgy,
you'd have a nice brown quartz.
Oh, mate, again, I looked tremendous.
John, have you ever taken tanning pills?
I've never been on a sunbed or fake tan in my entire life, no.
Have you ever injected a steroid right up your asshole?
I've not done that either, funnily enough, no.
Have you ever bleached your asshole?
I've not bleached my asshole, no. No.
You ever get your tongue pierced?
No.
Have you ever pierced anything with your tongue?
No.
Like an asshole?
You ever had a shag?
That's a shag.
Anyway, welcome to Wrestling Daft, everybody. Let's have a look.
That's a very strange start to the show this week.
This is what I like about it. I mean, we start talking about wrestling, I can't even fuck. It's a bit like
fucking that. It's WrestleMania week, Gredo.
No, you're right.
WrestleMania.
Living in the Hall of Fame.
This is what I like.
Sean says, how's it going, lads? Just finished this week's show, and Gredo, speaking about teaming with Santino up in Aberdeen, brought back painful memories, he says. This is what Sean says. I was at the show, but I had to go home after for work in the morning. Anyway, I woke up to find out that my dad and his pals went for a pint with Gredo and Chavo. Also found out Gredo signed my dad's Don's top.
I can't remember that.
So not only did I miss the pint, I also miss Gredo's reaction to being asked to do so. Keep up the great work. Thanks for making my night shift more bearable.
It's brilliant. Fucking
night shift. Anybody that says they work a night shift, they're actually an armed robber, aren't they? That's what I was saying.
Sean actually sent a picture of said Aberdeen top signed by Gredo. Would you like to see it?
I like the old banter with Aberdeen fans when I get there, by the way.
No, you don't want to see it.
I've seen Gredo's signature before.
Yeah. But there it is.
There it is.
Okay,
that's beautiful. And whose chin's that?
That's the dad, I think.
Graham Fraser just listened to Friday's episode, and Gredo was talking about Belladrum Festival. Oh, some things there, let me tell you. It was Davy Blaze that ended up dancing on stage with Sister Sledge. He took the mic and shouted, "I'm Davy Blaze and I'm a fucking wrestler." The band all cheered and kept playing. Must have been in front of about 20,000 people.
Mate, that was brilliant. It ended up on BBC. Did you ever see that clip? Oh, no. Somebody needs to send that next week.
The irrepressible Davy Blaze.
What about Davy Blaze? My Sister Sledge? You never even heard of us, John?
I've never heard of this. Are they like, "Dude, we are family" and all that sort of stuff?
Aye! He was on the stage with his car path. I mean...
Davy Blaze, by the way, we were talking about wrestling confusions last week while we were in John and Gredo were, and the fact that Davy thought that John Cena must be knackered after having to stay up until 4 a.m. every pay-per-view, no realising the time difference. You guys have been in touch for years. Absham Rahim says, APA returning in 03, Bradshaw suddenly had short blonde hair and a goatee. As a kid, I was left wondering where the real Bradshaw was and who this imposter was. JBL became universally hated in 04, but I was ahead of the game, he says, as I hated him in 03 for being a fake Bradshaw.
I didn't remember he came out like some mad fucking... Maybe he came out with it, he went back to the kind of... What was his name back in the 90s? Justin Blackshaw or something like that? What was that again? Anyway, remember the hardcore belt changed for a couple of minutes as well? Remember that? It was like a cowbell on it.
Aye.
Remember that? Yeah. Remember he came out as like a cowboy? for about half an hour. Remember that?
Because that was his gimmick when he first came into WWF. One, it was a kind of cowboy gimmick, right?
Aye.
Craig says, whenever I used to watch on Sky One, they always cut away for a chair shot to a fan in a cane mask taking a photo. I always found it strange that he was at every show in the same mask and they caught him every time with a camera. And Willie has a wrestling confusion. He says, when he was away, the only way he could watch wrestling was pay-per-view on VHS. So I always confused the fuck out of him when a wrestler would show up with a new gimmick or suddenly be a heel or a face. For example, Luger changing for the Narcissist to the All-American. I like the Narcissist gimmick, by the way, Lex Luger's. I like that.
Aye.
In there with the mirrors, Nora, run him and stuff. I like that stuff, man. He had some muscles on him, let me tell you.
Did you know, I tell you,
he had a very ugly face, though, didn't he? He had a good body, but he had an ugly face, Luger.
He kind of looked like a kind of, you know how some people are unlikable just the way their facial features are a bit like, see, like Kevin Bacon.
You find Kevin Bacon unlikable?
I get that.
Do you get what I mean? He's got a kind of snot-nosed, you're an asshole look about him.
He's got a baddie face into Luger. He could never be a baby face because he's got a baddie's face, right? He's got a face of a baddie.
He looks like a soul new, though, eh?
I think, and other people that might have it as well, is Eli Drake's got a bit of a face like that, who plays LA Knight on NXT. He's got that kind of, I want to fucking punch him kind of face.
I just want to say again, like, we listened to X Factor's music a couple of episodes ago, and Grado was saying it's good now, and I've actually listened to it a few more times since then, and it's absolutely fucking rotten. Rotten. I really hate it. I'm obsessed with how much I hate it.
Mate, I'm telling you, I bought the Mission Impossible 3 album when I was, say, about 13, and it cost me about £15, and it was to listen because the X Factor song was on the soundtrack, man, Uncle Cracker. But it wasn't, obviously, Jim Johnson fannied about with it, you know? It was just kind of Uncle Cracker, but I loved it. I thought it was bright. And I love the colours. I love the X Factor colours. I love the purple.
WWSF. SPFL for years thinking that RVD was related to Jean-Claude Van Damme. Now, that's an interesting one.
That's a shout.
Well, that is a good shout because I had completely forgotten that there was a kind of almost like something going about that there was some kind of connection between RVD and Jean-Claude Van Damme because they look
like each other. They look like each other. Got the name of it. Presumably that's why he got the name because they look split.
Ah, it's definitely that. It's like, I never tell you about the boy in my school, classic school, when we're doing a wee wrestling quiz in primary 7, primary 8, and he was like, he goes, right then, who's the fastest runner in the WWE? And I was like, don't know. He was like, Kurt Angle, obviously, he won the Olympics. And then my mate Gary Hutton, man, fucking hell. Gary Hutton's one of these boys that he's really, really intelligent, but he's daft. Mm-hmm. Do you know that way? Like, you would go, right then, which Coronation Street on? He would go, BBC One. You would just know it, right? What's the first pay-per-view of the year? Every year, what's the first pay-per-view? No Mercy. No, it's the Royal Rumble. Come on, for fuck's sake. You've been watching wrestling for years now. And one of them was, I went, right then, who's the light heavyweight champion? And he says, Rikishi. And I'm like, where the fuck? He goes, well, because light heavyweight. Dafty, man. It still winds me up. He's one of the ones that, you know that way, he's the best, right? He's one of my best mates, right? So he'll not mind, but he's like, one of the ones that you, if you would ask him the now, like, what age is your mom? He'd probably still turn around and say, she's about 36. You know what I mean? You're like, no! Oh!
Billy got in touch and says, I thought Stevie Richards was Booker T's brother. Says, to be fair, I'd never seen Stevie Ray at that point and must have misheard Ray and Richards. Easy mistake. Jamie was another one who thought RVD was related to Jean-Claude Van Damme. Also, last week, Grado was looking for films that you should watch. Here's some suggestions.
No. I can't believe you published that, John, because we really thought when we got after a shaky start last week, we thought you'd Rob, and we were talking about, John was talking about how, because I've never saw Rocky. And then John basically says, let's try and get films for Grado to watch. And I'm going, all right.
It's unthinkable you've never seen Rocky. It's fucking bananas.
I know.
Paul says, please tell me you've seen Ghostbusters 1 and 2, have you?
I've saw the cartoon.
You don't need to see Ghostbusters 2, I don't think. Ghostbusters is worth a watch. Back to the Future, you seen Back to the Future?
No.
Ian says The Green Mile is my favourite of all time.
Saw that.
Do you like The Green Mile?
Aye. Sad.
Adam Sandler's Big Daddy. You seen that?
Saw that. That's when they go to McDonald's and it's shut, innit?
Aye. Alex says he says film for Grado Nazis at the centre of the earth, but that's no. Is that a name of a film?
Aye.
Was it?
No, absolutely mental plotting as a giant robot Hitler in it. So bad it's hilarious. Grado wouldn't like that. You wouldn't
no, see, I'm no into see stuff that's no real, if you know what I mean. I'm no into like Psy, District 9 or whatever. Do you know, I'm not into all that, like robots and
Grado's like that here, but I just want to remind everybody that Grado just said I'm no into things that aren't real. Grado, the professional wrestler, just said he's no into things. Wrestling's kid on. Scott says it's not a film but a good documentary for Grado to watch is King of Kong. You must have seen King of Kong, right?
King of Kong?
Have you never seen King of Kong?
Wait, is it the, is that a game? Computer a game thing?
It's a Donkey Kong one.
Hold on. I think Grado, I've seen you'd it. Fuck, you'd love it was it. At Netflix right at the start when I've saw it. 100%. I swear to I've seen that. The guy with the beard and all that. It looks like Noel Edmonds.
Saw that.
I have saw that. That was tremendous.
Beautiful.
Yes.
Before we get into Grado singing a wrestling theme this week, Bronze Cello has sent a must-see video of Hulk Hogan singing Gary Glitter.
Have you seen this before?
You love this stuff.
Oh, he's sung Leader of the Gang. He sung Leader of the Gang.
I'd never
seen it. I want to see it. Can I see it? Beautiful.
That's fucking. That
kill
is.
It, kill it. Listen, it's a belter of a song. It's like is, the sad thing you have to say is sad. Also when they use the Gary Glitter song in that Joker film as well. Like, the, it's like these are, you know, Gary Glitter stuff was fucking good. You can't.
It's like, Rab, obviously, you know, what a horrible, horrible human being. Horrible, horrible human being.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't deny, man, he was an entertainer like, back in the day. That's what I'm saying. That's why I sometimes find the parallels. This might sound ridiculous, but see, when I go back to thinking why I go into wrestling when I was a wee boy, it's like how I was like a thing we to Gary Glitter. Do you know what I mean? I dressed up as him. What are you laughing at, mate? I'm trying to be serious here. Do you get what I mean? But do you get what I'm... Do you get the kind of coalition I'm trying to make here? Do you get what I mean?
Aye.
You know, the lights, the camera, the action, the big silver boots, the trench coat, the wig, the makeup.
Like, you had that Adrian Street kind of fucking vibe, you know what I mean? He had that, like, you know what I mean?
And so
it's that era. People need to remember as well that British wrestling came out of the same era as kind of glam rock. British wrestling being big on telly, was glam rock was big as well, you know what I mean? You know, this is back in the good old days, man. I'm back in the good old days.
This isn't keto daft.
This is wrestling daft. So, Mer singing this time for Vince as Blair sends us this clip of Vince singing Stand Back. Oh, I love Stand Back.
Is this a song that Simon Cowell produced?
No. The funny thing is, he's actually all right.
No bad channel, is he?
He's not as good as
Paul,
is he?
Beautiful. All of them coked out their heads. He can't beat it. Now it's time for Grado to sing. Oh, this week, Jason wants HBK's theme. We can provide the background singing John Moonan.
Oh, Grado!
Grado! No, right here. This is the crack, right?
What's the crack?
Listen, I'm coming on here every week singing these wrestling songs.
Why are you not singing?
Because I feel as if I'm strobing myself off every week coming on singing wrestling songs. What if Abyss hears this?
Well, Well, let me tell you something. It would be embarrassing, to be fair, if Shawn Michaels went, I'm going to listen to one episode of this Wrestling Daft podcast since I did an interview for the other, for the sister show. Since they set up a wee interview with me, I'll listen to this other one, these Strobs are on, and see what it sounds like, and then goes on and then hears Grado going, I'm a sexy boy.
Aye.
I mean, that's fucking not a good look, is it?
I mean, I know it's WrestleMania, but I just don't see the... What do you think?
What about, why don't you just sing Rolling again for the Undertaker?
I've not sung that for.
Have you never sang it?
I'd rather sing Rolling, to be honest with you, because
gives
I...
Give me a bit of Rolling.
No, I know you'll be loving this shit right here. L-I-M-P, Biscuit is right here. People in the house of the man's in the year. See that you don't care, that we don't care. 1, 2, 3, time 2 to the 6. Chosen for your bigs with a limb, Biscuit bigs. So where the fuck you at, bun? Shut the fuck up and back the fuck up, and we fuck this track up.
I mean, that was beautiful. And definitely, you won't, if Undertaker listens to this, you won't have anything to be embarrassed about after doing that. If any of you want to get in touch with us about any of that stuff, or just random wrestling-related stuff, get us on Twitter at Wrestling Daft, on Insta at Wrestling Daft Podcast, just Wrestling Daft on Facebook, or please email us. Now, every week we like to separate the good for the bad, the WrestleMania 17s from the WrestleMania 9s. John doesn't like WrestleMania 9. Anyway, you want to bury anything you want to put over?
I suppose I'm quite looking for it to Jericho on Stone Cold.
Oh, yes.
But an eye-opener, but at the same time, you're thinking, is it really that much an eye-opener? Apparently, Steve Austin just sent a text to Vince going, can Jericho be on this? And he's like, battering.
This is the thing. I think there's an idea out there. It's like, oh, Vince will be raging about AEW doing this and all that. Vince doesn't care about AEW.
No.
Vince, that's a blip. That's a blip to him. He doesn't care. That'll be great. It'll be a great podcaster, because we know, having spoken to him, episode 1 of Wrestling Daft, check it out. Jericho is a brilliant interview. And he's like...
Oh, he's great.
He's a great talker, a great guy, great funny guy, and it'll be great to hear the two go at it, because the guy were there. They were at the coalface when everything was at its best. And again, like I've always said, there's no wrestler out there I know that have kept themselves relevant as much as Jericho has.
No doubt.
And I think Edge is a prime example here, because Edge has came back for injury and has came back a guy for that era who has came back into the modern era. And I think he's kind of struggling a wee bit to find what is his place now. You know what I mean? I like Edge, but he's like, where is my place? Jericho's good at fucking working out where his place is in any new environment he's in, you know what I mean?
You're bang on, Rob.
Thanks, Grado. I also want to give a shout-out to Logan Paul, appearing on... Now, I don't like Logan Paul. And he appeared on the wrestling with Sami Zayn. And I told my daughter about it. I told Hope about it. And I was like, Logan Paul is pals with Sami Zayn now. And she hates Logan Paul as well. And she was like, what? And she says, show me. And then she looked at it and she saw like Sami Zayn dancing about with Logan Paul and all that. And she was like, oh, I hope Kevin Owens kills the two of them. and there we go. You know what I mean?
The worst, it could be Logan Storm.
Well, exactly. Well, there we go. Great booking. I like that. And I just want to put over it being WrestleMania, because even though I was kind of a couple of weeks ago, I was going, oh, wasn't he? I'm not that excited about the card. You get to a few days before it and you're like, you're in the WrestleMania mood, didn't you?
Aye. I'm into it, mate. I'm watched 10 minutes of the Hall of Fame. I'm into it all. I can't wait. What's going to happen? But as I say to Sha on the phone, I goes, there's Undertaker's no wrestling out there, isn't he? There's Triple H, there's no... You know, there's no kind of fucking...
There's Bad Bunny, though. It's got a bit of Bad Bunny. Hey, and RVD in the Hall of Fame as well.
Good for him. Aye, that was good fun.
It was like...
A bit weird, that Hall of
Fame. Dude. Are you kidding me on?
Did you see that? He didn't see that!
There was a request last week for you to do that, Raph. Thank you.
But here, hold on a minute. Hold on.
What?
Are you being serious? Because he fucking did say that in his speech. I'm just realising it.
Did he?
I swear to God. He never said, are you kidding me on? But he went, are you kidding me?
Beautiful. Beautiful. He's staying on brand. Right, let's see what the punters are saying.
No, right now, Finn. It takes 2 seconds. You keep
talking. Okay. Let's see what the punters are saying. Stephen wants to put Jericho appearing on the Stone Cold sessions this weekend. It should be a belt, and he's hopeful it will lead to WWE and AEW having a more positive relationship. It won't. And he wants to bury nothing. It's WrestleMania week. Positivity only. Good on you, Stephen. John wants to put over the ending to SmackDown, the triple threat match for the Universal title. It's been built up well since the Rumble, and he wants to bury the booking of Riddle as US champ. I want to put over all the birds that fly out of Matt Riddle's feet when he flips his flip-flops off. It's very hard to say. Sean Innes, 95, wants to put over the fact that the Hall of Fame ceremony was only an hour and a half long instead of half a day. Amen. Well said, Sean. And he wants to bury Ron General as it's utter shite. Sean Conlon wants to bury Bad Bunny and Damian Priest, a couple of Thatchers. It's an interesting thing they've done with Damien Priest because they're making him look a wee bit like a dick, aren't they? Cutting about with Bad Bunny like that. And Sean wants to put old Jericho and the rest of the inner circle hiding in the toilet for the Pinnacle. Imagine they didn't look in the toilets. And Nicey Wrestlers wants to bury the go-home for Raw for Mania. He came out of that show less hyped. Couldn't give a fuck about any of the Raw brand matches this weekend. He'll wait after tonight's shows. Wait till after tonight's shows to put something over. Alexander wants to bury the Thunderdome. He's fed up watching wee guys marking out in their bedrooms. Agreed. Just follow AEW's example and bring in some fans. John, you were in the Thunderdome, right?
I was in the Thunderdome, aye.
Were you marking out in your bedroom when you were in the Thunderdome?
No, I watched it with the wee man. I actually put him into the Thunderdome, but we got kicked out. We got kicked out. That's exciting.
Would you get no jumping about enough or whatever?
I don't know. We had to leave at one point to go and he had to go to the toilet, and then we got
you left an empty screen.
You can't do that.
Oh,
it's the rules of the Thunderball, mate. You cannot do it.
That's the rules of the Thunderball.
Yeah. By the way, this might not be as funny, but this is weird.
It was with your support. Are you kidding me?
Beautiful. And Alexander wants to put over that it's WrestleMania week and there is a fuck ton of wrestling to watch. Because there's the NXT TakeOver stuff this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, some cracking matches on that card, but I'll tell you.
And NXT UK as well, that'll be good.
That's a lot of... What a pile of shite that is. NXT UK preload for Rampage Brown's fate and facing Walter. And he's fucking... Walter's obviously on getting put on Concord the next game day to fight fucking Tommaso Ciampa. In America, when there's fucking COVID going on. I know we're breaking kayfabe here, but fuck's sake.
It's funny you say that, but then Jordan Devlin was on an interview and he was saying that basically he only got told at the start of the week he was going to be on the show. And it was like, you need to get yourself to Florida the next day. So I don't know whether there's some sort of rule there. I definitely know that NXT UK must have been taped. It must have been taped because...
Did you see how skinny Adam Cole's arms were when he was doing that contract signing?
No.
He's under too skinny to be a wrestler. I feel like I could fight Adam Cole and win. Right. And Jamie wants to put over the great Khali, massive chop. The great Khali's a hell of a character, isn't he? It's the part of the show where we invite you, the listeners, to do a run-in. This week, it's an invited run-in on the road to WrestleMania as we welcome the man behind Inside the Ropes. It's Mr. Kenny McIntosh.
Oh! This is a dream scenario. Last week, I'm on Wrestling Observer Live, but fuck that, pish. Wrestling Daft.
You said that Grado turning heel was the biggest mistake he'd ever made.
You know, I'm not just saying this, right? I was going to bring this up first.
No, you only.
I swear, because I remember listening to Wrestling Daft. One of the only few podcasts I still listen to, right? Because I don't listen to many. And it was one of the first ones, and you said when you turned heel, you remembered me tweeting out that thing. So I'm just going to tell you what I think. I probably shouldn't say this on air.
No idea.
Fuck it.
Do it.
So, it's nothing to do with you. I remember when you turned heel and I thought, that's not been done to further Grado. That's not been done to make you bigger. That's been done to fuck with you. That's what it looked like to me from the outside. And I think that I could be wrong, but it feels like there was people inside, not Martin Dallas, before anybody thinks I'm having a go at Dallas, but I think there was people who were not, they didn't have your best interest at heart. And I feel like at the end of it, they didn't really care about what happened to your character. And you know, your character, as you guys have talked about in the podcast, was so big for Scottish wrestling, so big for British wrestling and what it did. It deserved more care. If you're going to turn Grado heel, what's the long-term plan? What's the big goal at the end going to be when he turns babyface again? It didn't feel like that was there. You did work that, and I'm not just saying it, but it was Austin 2001 heel turn level of stuff.
Aye.
You did everything you could. Mm-hmm. But when you're then branded Mr. TNA, Mm-hmm. Like, what are you supposed to do with that? So that was why I didn't have confidence that that was being done for the right reasons.
No, and deep down, I 100% was on the same... I was totally on the same path with that. Is that what you say, the same path?
Same
line of thinking. I was never comfortable with... I mean, we were still talking about it half an hour before I went out. It was one of the ones where I was like... I don't want to do this. This isn't the right time. And then even throughout the match, but I think even Barry Wolfgang was going, man, this is, he's like, listen to this, just look at, listen to the reaction you're getting. This is the wrong time. We shouldn't be doing it. So I,
whose idea was it?
It was Dallas's. But you know what? I get it, but, and I don't think they've done that. If Dallas has had so many amazing ideas, I love it, and I don't grudge him for trying to turn me heel. I totally get it, but you're right, he maybe never had like the whole, he had maybe just ICW and what it would be cool for ICW, and it was for what it was for the couple of months that I'd done it. However, I don't think he fully appreciated the fullness of it, rather than it just happening on his show. But it's his company and I get it, but he sold it to me, man, and at the end of the day, I still done it. I probably could have no done it, but I still done it because he sold me, this will be the biggest thing, and blah, 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 and folk are going to talk about it. And I'm a mark. I get G'd up for it. I was like, but at the same time, I was telling myself, this is bad, man. What about next week when you're wrestling in Town Hall? I'm never going to tweet it and bad like a bad guy. I don't want to do that. Non-wrestling fans going, who's this dickhead?
You hear about Austin when he turned heel in 2001, he wanted to do it. They didn't want to do it, but they were like,
we owe
it to Steve and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I think as a fan watching ICW, you know, obviously it was Renfrew's the babyface, you're the heel, but it just felt like you're pushing this Mr. TNA thing. When that's done, I don't know if you're going to be able to, it's not going to be as easy to get it back to where it was. And like you say, I don't think people were sick of you by any stretch of the imagination. So but that was just what I thought at the time. But
and see how when I was talking about it on the podcast, I wasn't burying you, was I?
Oh, no.
Because I felt terrible because that unfollows you and everything because of that. How pathetic is that?
No, Kenny, you must be one of the few people we haven't buried on this podcast.
No.
I totally get it. Like, because the thing is, one of the podcasts we did, and I said the ropes, we watched Raw and SmackDown 20 years ago, me and Sandra from America, and we just watched WrestleMania 17. And see, when you watch it, I feel like Austin in the January was maybe like, oh, I think it's a bit stale, I need to change my ways. But then when he got to Texas and got to Houston and it's this massive crowd, I think deep down he knew, I don't know if I should be doing this, but he went with it anyway. So the thing is, you're very brave for doing it. I'll give you that, because it was a brave move to try it. And the thing is...
No kick to ball since.
Well, listen, here's the truth of the matter. Nobody remembers.
I don't think it's that well.
Nobody remembers it.
See when everything comes back, wrestling comes back, the big babyface moment is Grado coming back. That's what it is. So,
but this is why I think genuinely you've made the right call, Grado, no day in any of these tapings, these closed door tapings or anything like that. Yeah. You know what I mean? I think you've made the right call to just sit out.
But anyway, I don't want to keep going on about me, right?
So here's another thing about Grado, right?
I don't like talking about myself.
So Kenny, tell the listeners, I was going to say the viewers there, but tell the listeners, because it's a podcast, you've got a lot going on.
Yeah, got a lot going on. Used to do events, used to do Q&As for years and podcasts and all that kind of stuff, and then COVID happens and half the income's gone. So what do you do? What's the plan? And luckily, a friend of mine, Dan Richardson, he was free and he had sort of talked about, what do you think about starting a magazine? And initially I was like, that's a ridiculous idea, especially during a pandemic. But the idea was to steer into the retro audience, to steer into people who don't have time to watch Raw and SmackDown every week. They might just want to get a magazine. They've got kids. They don't have time. They just want to maybe read a magazine once a month and cover it like the way you used to get wrestling covered in magazines. So we started it. It's gone really well. We started a website, itrwrestling.com, where we've specifically not been clickbait. So you're not going to find former WWE champion backstage, and it's R-Truth. No offense to R-Truth. I'm happy that he's backstage. No, more the better. But like, we've been doing that, and everything's kind of been going well. Hoping to be able to do events at the end of the year. But it sounds really wanky, but very blessed that stuff kind of went my way during the pandemic, and I was able to keep going. Do you know what I mean? Because a lot of people haven't been that lucky, and I'm very aware of that.
Well, true grafters survive, though. The true grafters survive.
When you're pushed into a corner, you need to go for it. I know Heyman said before, you know, you'll never succeed if you're afraid of failure. So you just need to try if you believe in an idea.
But Kenny, do you know what? It's like, I look at you, man. You were the first person I ever done any sort of podcast with. It was at that university. Remember that? And I think, like, the amount of stuff that you have done, man, the amount of guys that you've been able to work with, it's incredible, the list of the folk. I mean, who was the coolest? Who's the best? What's the one moment where you've went, wow, man, I can't believe that's happened? Because you've been on the road with what? Goldberg?
Shawn Michaels.
Heyman, Shawn Michaels, Taker.
Yeah. The weirdest one was, we did a show WrestleMania weekend in 2018 with Heyman. And we did the show, and he said, I'm going to make sure this show has more buzz to it than anything else going on this weekend. I was like, okay, Paul, that's fine. And then we get to the venue, and I'm doing all the kind of logistic stuff, and we do the meet and greet and all that kind of stuff. And then out of the blue, this door opens, and JR comes through. And I was like, hi, how you doing, Jim? And he was like, he was there to do the entrance. So I was going to go, ladies and gentlemen, Paul Heyman, then out walks JR. So that's the first one that I didn't know about. And then I'm on stage interviewing Heyman about different stuff, and all of a sudden Heyman just goes, Kenny, hold on, Rob Van Dam, and out comes RVD, and I'm like, alright, and I was like, what is this, what am I doing? But I remember a guy from Sports Illustrated was there, and he said something that was really nice that I can remember. He said he was really impressed with the fact that when RVD came out, I knew it was time to step away for that. I wasn't involved in that moment. It's not about me, it's not about me getting my wee 5 minutes on stage, it's about Heyman's brought out RVD. That's what people want to see.
Aye.
And I think that's kind of something that people sometimes they want to be in the moment for everything. But
Gredo, what would you have done in that moment when RVD came out? When RVD came out, would you have got out of the way?
Well, if I was on the stage and RVD was there?
If you were in Kenny's position and Heyman went, here's RVD, and RVD came out, and Kenny had the wherewithal to go, I'm getting out of the picture here and let this moment happen, what would you have done in that situation?
Stayed up, man. Started fucking dancing behind him and all that. RVD.
You get RVD to wee boot and all that.
You're like the
Rangers RVD. No, you'd be saying, aren't you?
Oh, aye, man. I would have cashed out in that big time if I was on the stage.
I'd never seen that thing where RVD super kicked you at 5-star. It's the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. It was so good. And then immediately I was like, I need to listen to Wrestling Daft this Friday to hear you talking about it. Because I knew you would. I knew you'd be talking about it.
I know.
Kenny, when did you cross the line between, like, you know, you're a fan, right? You're a fan, and then you're dealing with these guys. Did you, you know, do you always get that sense of, like, God, these are guys that I'm a fan of? Or did you quite early cross that line into being like, this is just a guy doing a bit of business? And do you remember there was a turning point where you started to kind of go, you know, this is just a guy? Do you know what I mean?
That's never really happened for me. Like, you and I have some similarities, because when you were doing Kelvin Brook, you were already famous. So, like, it's not like that we're different in that respect. But you got into wrestling because you loved wrestling. You wanted to do this event with Greg or whatever. Mm. And my whole thing was always like, these events would be really cool. Why does nobody do them? So I want to do them. But on most of the events, things happen where I have to stop myself from visibly sort of marking out about it, because that's not, I can't do it. But I remember we did a couple of shows in 2012, 2013, 2014, and we did DDP was the first one, right? And we charged a tenner to come and see the show and £15 if you wanted to meet him as well.
I think I was at that.
Yeah, but it was a stupid price.
What'd you call it? The Grand, Classic Grand?
Was it Classic Grand?
That was brilliant.
But the whole idea was ICW charge a tenner for 3 hours of entertainment. How can we charge loads more for an hour and a half? Stupidest business decision I'd ever make, because we could have charged more. But we did it, and we did a couple, and they didn't really work out. So then I went and moved to Canada for a year in 2014. And then I wanted to come back and do a tour. So we did a tour with Sting. And see, when you see him in real life, Steve Borden, he's just the nicest guy, loves Jesus, very quiet, whatever. So we're in this venue in London, and I'm like, this is your dressing room. I'll see you for the meet and greet in 20 minutes. And I go back to chap on the door, and he opens the door fully dressed as Sting. And I shat myself, because it was so different from 5 minutes before. But you have to, in that moment, somehow in your mind go, it's fucking Sting. Outwardly go, see you in 5 minutes, Steve.
But do you know what I find funny with stuff like this? Say if you're on a road with a yank, right? And you stop into a a petrol station or a service station and just seeing somebody, you know, like fucking try to see Kurt Angle try to work the card machine, the self-service checkout at Tesco, and you stand back and you go, look at that, man. Kurt Angle in Tesco's, man, struggling. Look at this. Try to,
I remember when we did the tour with Shawn Michaels in January 2018, and luckily for me, Drew, completely unprovoked, put a good word in for me. He said, "Your Kenny's a good guy." So when we got there, Sean was just really nice. So we get there and it's the day before the show in Belfast, I think it was, and he's going to go and chill at his hotel. And then he texts me. Well, no, first of all, I was like, "Sean, I'll give you my number if you need me." And he was like, "Are you trying to ask for my number, Kenny?" And I was like, "Yeah." But so I gave him it, and then about 2 hours later, he said, "Kenny, I've actually forgotten my hot water bottle. Would you be able to get me one?" We have to go to this retail park and get a hot water bottle for Shawn Michaels. So I was like, I'm going to go and deliver this because I want him to know that I fucking got this hot. So I go all the way to his room, right, and chat the door. And he opens the door and he's just in a pair of shorts and he has abs. And he's 54. And he still had the long hair. And I've never felt less of a man walking away from that hotel room just going, he's come off a 10-hour flight, gubbed, and he looks like he's ready to go out to WrestleMania. And I'm just looking like a bag of shite, pasty. But
he's the one going to bed with a hot water bottle, though.
You know, who's winning there?
A fucking old grander. That's what I would have said. I'd have been like, what the fuck are you, an old granny or something?
It's like, do you know what blows my mind? I know, Kenny. It's like, inside the ropes with an ounce somebody, and you're like, what? You're joking, you know, it was Sting then Taker and all that. I want to ask, who have you tried for that you've no go? Please say you've went for The Rock.
We went for Austin, can't get him.
Rock, too dear.
He just doesn't want to do it. He doesn't want to, like, he's only done one appearance in the US in the last, like, his daughters live in the UK and he doesn't come and see them, they go and see him.
That's right, so, I forgot about that. Remember that, the Stone Cold Truth DVD? That was like filming in the Council House in Newcastle.
I feel as if I've got a memory somewhere in my head, maybe it's listening to one of Stone Cold's podcasts or something, that he doesn't like flying.
I don't think he likes traveling. I mean, my favorite is when you get into something, goes, "You ever tried getting Stone Cold?" No, I've never thought of that. I should just now give that some thought. I've tried to get people before who just think that they're worth much more money than they are. For most people, it's just a case of like the difficulty is now that most people see at the beginning, there's another company who brought over like Brett, Sean. And then obviously Chris Brooker brought over Mick Foley before I started doing them. But because the big names came straight away, there's not really an appetite for like, I'd love to do a tour with Sergeant Slaughter or something like that. But it wouldn't draw because now it's just like, it has to be a big name, has to be a big name.
Is that true though? Because there is like, I think there would be people curious about some of these guys that are going to have some amazing stories about people, but maybe don't often pop up on podcasts.
Aye, like obscure, like, you know, the way like, what do you call him? Conrad has got like Jim Crockett and stuff like that. That kind of idea. I quite like that.
And I mean, Slaughter's story as a guy, like being able to talk about, you know, being that guy who had to play that character who was like fucking hated at that time is one of the most fascinating stories. It's like, maybe you wouldn't draw the same numbers, but it would definitely be an interesting. But it's an interest. Has there been any ones you've avoided booking because you've went, they'll be a fucking nightmare?
So somebody offered me Vince Russo once and I said, I would rather eat my own shit.
Why?
Because for example, I embrace failure that I've had, right? So like we did a show with Sonny, worst thing we ever did, 45 people in the Classic Grand. It was horrible. But you just make a laugh out of it. That was, you know, it was an experience.
So it grew terribly. It was a terrible draw.
Terrible draw. Because we booked her, and then 2 weeks later, and this is serious, I don't want to take the piss out of it, but like she said on social media that she had like cancer, and she said she had some sort of like ovarian cancer, and then people were saying she didn't, so she was like posting photos of scans.
It's like
try to be like, here's the original diva. It's not the same thing. But with Russo, the thing with him is he is not willing to accept any blame for anything. If you go, Vince, the sky is blue, you go, no, it's green. And you can't have a conversation with that. You can't do anything with that.
I find that entertaining.
It would be fascinating seeing somebody like
challenge him.
Maybe you don't even necessarily need to challenge somebody like Russo. It's like Grado says, the thing I find fascinating about Russo, and I'd love to have Russo come on this at some point, is because I do think there has been a concerted effort over the years to kind of diminish what Russo did as well. I think it is fair to say that. For all we know, there were negative aspects to decisions that Russo made and stuff like that.
He kind of
diminished the role he played, you know what I mean? And it's,
he had an amazing couple of years. I think the problem is he then had so many bad years later on that Russo could make so much money if he was willing to open up like Bischoff is on his podcast. You know, Bischoff will talk about this was really good, this was really bad. I just don't know if me personally as an interviewer, I think I would probably be quite bad at trying to get stuff out of Russo. I think I would hear him say things I would know aren't true, and then I wouldn't really know what to do with it. Because the thing that was actually pitched to me was, do you want to do the trial of Vince Russo? And I was like, I mean, the idea sounds great, but I just think what it would be in person wouldn't be very good. So
would that be like bringing up everything that he was being accused of over the years, and the stuff, and then like Piper turning up in TNA and getting in his face and all
and
that.
He's defending it all and all that kind of stuff. But I mean, don't get me wrong. See,
that sounds good, Kenny. I'm not even joking, but it does.
See if you guys want to do it. I'll happily come with that show.
Rab
on stage with him, and I'll go.
But here's the way I look at it with Vince Russo, right? Mm-hmm. If you look at Vince Russo as a TV guy, Vince Russo was responsible for a few years of some of the best American telly that there was, as far as I'm concerned. And see, there's no many people that have done that. There's no many people that have done that. And some people only have, like, they create one show or they do one series or something and it's great, and maybe everything else the day after it doesn't hit the same heights or doesn't work or whatever. But they're still held up in the TV industry as a legend because they caught that fucking, that firefly in the bottle, and they managed to do it for that wee period. And so I do think the weird thing in the wrestling industry is that what he did has been diminished a wee bit. It's incomprehensible to me that a guy like Vince Russo shouldn't be, you're not talking about him going into a WWE Hall of Fame or anything, but there should be some kind of acknowledgement of the role that he played in that time.
You're right.
He makes it hard for himself, obviously, but...
I think he's a fascinating guy. He's an interesting guy, I would love to watch something with him where he was more open about stuff, but I just don't think I'd be the right guy to do it. Like, I think I know now what I'm quite good at doing interview-wise, and I know the ones I'm not. But I think for wrestling fans, right or wrong, I think it's almost like, you do Burniston, it's amazing. It's like if you did 3 great seasons of Burniston and then 20 terrible series of it afterwards, that would people still remember the 3 good ones after the 20 ones that were badly received? I think that's how wrestling fans perceive it, that he's done the one thing for so many years and it's never been what it was. But
I think in a sense, like, definitely with something like Burniston, right, we did 3 series of Burniston and it's quite well remembered, Burniston, right?
Yeah.
But people forget all the sketches that didn't work very well, when people forget the kind of less good sketches. Like, people kind of go either. What happens is a repeat of Burniston happens on a telly and an episode gets shown or something, and some people watch it and they're like, this is shite. And it's because they're being reminded that there were also sketches in the show that didn't work. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I kind of feel that in wrestling, the people don't have that same way of contextualizing everything. So people don't go, well, that period was fucking, let's just remember that. I think sometimes in wrestling fans are prone to kind of remember the low points.
Yeah,
the wrestle crap, you know what I mean? That's kind of what we gravitate towards a wee bit, and steady the high points, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, you know Russo, though, Grado, don't you?
So he done a couple of tours for IPW UK, and I think, was it 2015? So I think he done 3 shots. So we done Germany together, then we done IPW, then we done somewhere else, and then that happened like 3 months in a row. It was pretty crazy. Like, the promoter at the time brought him in for like a full angle. Like, it wasn't just turn up and, that was the match. We done a build-up for a match between me and him. We done some sort of tag bout. He was a referee or something like that, and then it culminated to a match between me and him. And it was crazy. Like, and he loved it. He loved it. You could tell just when he came out to wrestle me, you know, he got on his gear that he wore when he beat. Who did he beat for the title? I can't even remember. WCW.
I think it was Booker T.
Was it Booker T, right? He wore it, so. You know, this is the shirt that I wore and all this. And he loved it.
It's got to be hard for him because he, like you said, Rab, he has had...
And so by the way, it's so funny. See, just cut you off. It's funny, like, if you... Because Shat always says that the funniest memory us two together backstage behind us a show is just going up to Vince Russo going, "I'm at Bash of the Beach in 2000. Tell us. What the fuck happened there?" And he would go, "Well, Bash of the Beach, this is what happened." And he would go, "Do, do, 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 do." And then you'd go, "Well, what happened with Piper at TNA? Was that no fucking embarrassing for you?" And he would go, "Do, do, 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 do." And he just wanted to tell everybody. It was constant, always on. And it was fucking brilliant. I loved it. Interesting, by the way.
You guys should get him on the podcast for sure.
It's fascinating.
Bring him on, man.
It's always fascinating to me when somebody involved in the creative side of a thing decides they want to put their cell out in front of the camera. That's always fascinating to me why they make that that choice. And I think when wrestling, it's very difficult. Because the draw of that, when you're in the back and you hear the crowd out there and they're like, fucking want to go out.
I was in the WCPW in like 2016, 2017, and I was the interviewer or whatever, and they kept trying to be like, "Do you want to do wrestling and stuff?" And I was like, I don't know how to fall. I don't know how to do anything. It's just not my bag. Like it's fine. And then Cody was having a match with Joseph Connors, and Cody was like, will you do a thing during the match?" I was like, "What do you want me to do?" And he was like, "Connors will fling you over the barrier and suplex you." And I was like, I mean, I have no idea how I'm going to take that. Like, I have no ability to do it. So eventually what they settled on was I could take a shove, because at least I could sell a shove. Like, if I can't sell a shove, what are you doing? And so we did that. But even that small bit, I was like, I just don't want... Because I always think about, I'm the guy who does the interviews. I just want to kind of stay there. I don't really want to be... I think I'd come across more like Michael Cole than Jim Ross. I mean, not like the beloved guy that, you know, no matter what you put him in, people are like, "Yes!" And you'd be like... Fucking Kenny thinks he's a big ticket now, doesn't he? Although the other week we put up an article on the website, and it was the Rangers title belt thing, and I had nothing to do with it. The belt article went up, and then somebody had put, like, the Inside the Ropes page had put, "Here's, you know, Rangers have this belt from WWE," and somebody just wrote, "There he is, Kenny McIntosh, that hun, finally getting his point across to wrestling fans."
Oh, what's it like? That's Scotland, isn't it?
I actually want to pull you up for something, Gredo, because I've not had a chance to pull you up for it.
Aye.
So you, before COVID, you went on Instagram and you were plugging mac and cheese for Little Soho in Jordan Hill, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you said it was the best mac and cheese you'd ever had. So me thinking you're a mac and cheese connoisseur, late night, off we go, Little Soho, Jordan Hill. And we go in and it was categorically the worst mac and cheese I've ever had in my life.
Right. I'm sorry, mate. The deal with that was... I would like to go back there to get my scoff, but basically I was with somebody. Who was I with again? Do you remember that?
Sam Cowan, I think it was.
So, and he was like, "Put this up and say it's the best."
But you know, we go in, right? We go in and I'm buzzing.
It's all work, innit? It's all work.
And I'm thinking, great, Grado said it's great. Here we go. So I sit down, right?
That makes it sound like I didn't enjoy it. At the time, I thought it was fucking amazing. But if it wasn't nice when you were there, then I'm no sticking up for it, because I have a thing called hashtag lazy macaroni. And what that means is your macaroni should always be fucking good. Never, ever let the standards of a macaroni go down. So if I hear you, and I take your word for it, I don't like hearing that you didn't enjoy that macaroni. Their standards, you can't go wrong with a macaroni. You can't go wrong.
Well, I need to interject here, because I've got a theory about macaroni cheese, right? Which is how people define a great macaroni cheese is fucking, is one of the most, everybody's got a different take on it. Some people like loads of cheese, like really, really thick with cheese and really salty. Some people like cheap cheese, that kind of cheap cheese in their macaroni cheese. And I kind of tend towards that myself, a kind of cheap, stodgy cheese in it. Some people like a fancy cheese. Some people like a creamier sauce. It's a very difficult thing to recommend a macaroni cheese to somebody.
Well, do you know what this place did? So they had this mac and cheese, creamy sauce, no cheese in the sauce whatsoever. Right. And then just a big clump of mozzarella on the top. No chips as a side, so what are you dipping? Nothing.
No.
Garlic bread was what they said the side was, but it was like a bit of bread on a George Foreman, just ploughed, right. £5. And then Mother Haffy said He said, maybe they're just going for an authentic Italian experience. I said, well, the tango fucking ice blast in the corner isn't giving me authentic Italian experience.
Mate, man.
Well, by the way,
just great sticky toffee pudding, I'll give them that.
See, and do you know what? The meatballs I had to start with were fucking a party in my mouth. See, the night I made emergency macaroni the night because right. Stephanie actually came a wee turn actually the night, right? She had to go to, go and just seat herself, right? So, don't know why I'm laughing at this. Anyway, so she was in the middle of making macaroni, but she was making it with a roux. But because she left it on the stove, the roux was fucked. So I says, emergency macaroni time. Jump to the shops. This is a great recipe for quick macaroni, right? You ready? Mm-hmm. Double cream. I've probably told this before, right? But it was really fantastic. She had already boiled the pasta. So I just took the boiled pasta, shoved in the double cream, shoved in half orange Orkney, half white Orkney, a spoonful of mustard, smoked paprika, and just stir and stir and stir till the night is long. And I swear to God, it's one of the best macaronis I've done in at least 6 months.
You're looking forward to WrestleMania, Kenny?
I mean, as long as I'm coming out to Grado's for macaroni for it, I think I'm done. But
if you were a little...
What's your picks for WrestleMania? What's the matches we should look out for?
I think Drew and Bobby Lashley are going to open the show. I feel that's the way it's going to go. I have this weird feeling, I don't know if I'm on my own here, I feel like Drew's going heel soon.
Do you? Right.
Maybe not at WrestleMania, but I feel like we're on the road to him turn at some point this year. But I think he'll get the moment at WrestleMania. I have a feeling we're either going to see Becky Lynch or Ronda Rousey at the weekend.
What about the Thingley as well? She's not been involved.
Bailey.
Mm-hmm, Bailey. Is there something there? I think there's something up with that. No.
She must be. Surely to God, they had her doing press today, and she was talking about not being in the show. So I'm not putting her out there doing press.
No,
or she's saying I'm not on the show unless she's doing something.
She was Kerry in the early part of that closed doors time. Bailey. Oh, yeah. So
she was the best. Know. She was Bianca and Sasha, I think, will be a great match.
I look forward to Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens.
See Sami Zayn dancing to Logan Paul's music. It just tremendous.
Do you know what I wish to happen, right? And I know it's defeats the purpose because there's obviously been wrestling all the way through this pandemic anyway. However, I'd love it for the first match to be Drew and Lashley, and for them to tie up and tease that first bump in front of a crowd. Do you know what I mean? Like, fucking they look up, take a heed, they go for the tackle and they budge and then they move out the road and then...
Old school.
Fucking hip toss, man. I reckon the place is going to go nuts to the point where they get a standing ovation.
Yeah. Imagine being that first, like Drew having that, you know, how bad you feel for him last year.
Exactly.
In that empty performance centre, but he kills it and he you know, is champion for months and months. And then he gets to be the first one out there in front of that crowd.
That would be tremendous.
That would be great.
He's got to win it, surely.
If he goes on last on night one, though, it's night one, isn't it? The Drew.
Yeah, night one.
If he goes on last on night one, Lesnar's turning up.
Yeah.
Is it the ladies' matches on?
I don't know if it's a main event. It's not said the main event yet.
They've
it's
not said what order it's playing. Where do you stand on The Fiend, Kenny?
I know where you guys stand on The Fiend, but I liked him at the beginning. But I feel like the problem with The Fiend is, I think at the beginning when he was part Fiend and part Firefly Funhouse, it was like a fun movie TV thing, but it never really translates in a wrestling ring, which is the problem because that's where the end goal is supposed to be. And now he kind of looks a bit like, you know, a burnt Texas Chainsaw Massacre guy.
Has he had a good match since the Wyatt family and the Shield were doing nothing?
I think he had one good match when he was a babyface with Roman Reigns for a night in like 2016.
Oh, I can't remember that actually.
But that's it. But I think there's more chance at WrestleMania of Kamala returning from the dead to have a match than Randy Orton and The Fiend having a good match.
Makes sense.
It's impossible.
I can't tell you how much I would fucking love Randy Orton to RKO The Fiend within about fucking 2 minutes and just pin the cunt. Just get it all done with, man. Just, you know what I mean? I can't tell you how much I would love for all the bells and whistles and all the smokes and mirrors and he just immediately RKOs him and pins him. I would love it.
What was the moment that you went off The Fiend? Or was there something that he did that he just, because in theory you as a creative guy would maybe love the idea that it's something different, it's out of the box.
Loved
what
it.
What was the moment that
loved it at the start, loved the music, loved him coming out with his old head as a lantern, I loved everything about it. And then I was like, oh god, this guy's not great in the ring, is he? Like, I kind of just remembered, I was like, this guy really struggles to, this guy And it was that, keeping that fucking red light on at the start of the thing, through the matches, I was just like, what are they thinking here? What are they doing? And I hate Oya. I feel it's no fair what they've done to her either, I don't think. Dragging her into it, you know what I mean?
Because she's now got the same problem, which if she has a match as that character, it's ruined. It's just, you can't do it. When she was in, when Alexa Bliss in January, like, oh God, if she's in the Rumble for a long time and she's wrestling people, like, how's Asuka supposed to react to her? And then Asuka's scared of Alexa Bliss, and it's just, it doesn't work.
It's also just, you need to be, if you're going to be a character like that, you need to be how the Undertaker was. You need to be like turning up, taking care of business and vanishing. You know what I mean? It has to be that. You can't be on Raw every week, and you can't be that character nowadays and work that way. It's just, it's frustrating. It's frustrating to watch, and I kind of feel like that guy has to stay. I don't know.
You don't know?
How do you fix it?
Maybe you just make him Husky Harris again.
I've said that.
Go back to the start.
I'd love to. Oh, Husky Harris.
The problem is the guy is cursed with being too talented at that kind of character work. The guy is cursed because they've seen, we've got somebody here who can do, when he was doing the promos as Bray Wyatt and stuff, it was like something really, even though he was talking a lot of shite, it was kind of compelling watching him do it. And when he does the Firefly Funhouse and all that, he's great at doing that stuff. So it's because he's so good at that stuff, they're like...
But you know, one of the problems with him is that it's happened twice to him. When he was kind of had his run in 2014, they didn't really want to put him over Cena properly. They kind of had it half and half. And then he's facing Undertaker and he does the whole build. And then he loses like that. Mm-hmm. And then again, he comes back in 2019 and he's the Fiend and it's amazing. And then he loses to Goldberg in that just, you know, really wet way that just kind of felt like...
You asked me earlier, when did I go off him, right? And genuinely, when I saw him sandbagging Goldberg in that match, I kind of thought to myself, and he totally was, there's no doubt about it. I was watching it, I was going, he's fucking giving Goldberg nothing here. And I just kind of thought, I don't like that.
He was one of the ones where when Goldberg came back and beat Brock right away, was it Brock he beat right away? He was one of the ones that stood up backstage and went, fuck this. Who's he? What's this guy done? So he was never ever...
Wow.
But this is, I mean, Brock sold like a fucking, you know, like a motherfucker as well.
Brock's no daft.
Yeah, Brock's a pro.
Brock's no daft.
That's a t-shirt, Brock's no daft. you've made another one.
Okay, Nate, we've went so long because it's been fascinating to talk to you. It was good to talk to somebody. So refreshing to talk to somebody knowledgeable on the show.
So new almanac. Wrestling almanac. We decided to do a wrestling almanac because...
What's an almanac?
So it's like, remember you used to get the wee red book from the Evening Times for football?
Aye.
And we can't even say because Gredo's not seen Back to the Future, so we can't even talk about Biff getting the almanac in Back to the Future. Bab, but
you're my spirit animal. So we decided to do one. It's really fun. Lots of facts and figures and stuff if you're a geek about wrestling. And then obviously the magazine, Inside the Ropes magazine. Hulk's on the cover. Look at that photo.
Your magazine is good. I don't know whether he's dating purpose, but the fact that it is... based on Power Slam, I love it. That's wrestling magazines. That's a wrestling magazine to me.
And I remember you'd said something once. I just wanted to address it because I know you'd said, one of you had said, you know, there's not a lot of British stuff in it at some point last year. And the problem that we had when we started the magazine was everything had kind of stopped. And then also, you know, Speaking Out had happened, but then it'd been too far after it to cover it. And it felt just kind of, what do you do?
Never thought about that, mate. I never thought about that. You're right.
It's just one of those things where I think once everything picks back up again, then we can start encoding stuff again.
Mostly the British wrestlers don't have good enough bodies for a magazine. I want to see, if I'm opening a wrestling magazine, I want to see some bodies in there, do you know what I mean?
You want to see big, muscly lads.
Exactly.
That's the reason I do a magazine. Just to get them in there.
That's what I want for a wrestling magazine. You're not wanting to see some skinny boys.
I'm with you. But yeah, if people are interested, InsideTheRopesMagazine.com is where they can get it.
Beautiful.
We've got a WrestleMania issue coming out next month, and we've kind of got the font like the old school WrestleMania logo.
Nice.
And then we spoke to...
I hope you don't get sued, man.
Parody. We spoke to Lanny Poffo about Macho Man's WrestleMania career. So nice. Like six pages talking to him about like all Savage's matches and stuff.
Is Cornette still right? Did he just plug?
I was FSM.
No, he backed us up. You're right. I'm sure he
did an interview with him.
Right, is that what you've done? Right, aye. Because I remember he was like, right, he kind of backed it right at the start. I thought, well, if there's anybody that's going to, you know, plug a who's going to be into wrestling magazines, it's going to be Jim Cornette. You know what I mean? He's old school. That's the way he found out about it back in the day.
Yeah, and then we've got some good news coming as well for people who want to pick it up in the UK. Can't quite say what it is, but...
Does
everybody in the UK get a free one? Is that what the news is?
I would love to offer that, Rab. If you want to foot the bill, all your Burniston money, we will give people a free copy, courtesy of Wrestling Daft. Send all your addresses to John. He'll post them out himself.
Beautiful.
Free vaccine for every 100th copy.
Give it back at me. Beautiful. So everybody, check all that stuff out and keep an eye on everything that Kenny's doing, because he's always providing good stuff for the wrestling fans in this country, for sure.
Thanks to you guys as well, by the way, because for me, the best time of being a Scottish wrestling fan was between about 2012 and 2015, when you would see everybody with the T-shirts on in town, and you go to all the big shows and stuff like that, and listening to you guys, it kind of takes you back.
Oh, that's
to
nice,
that,
mate.
To that.
Nice, so, man.
That's nice. Thanks for it.
Cool, no worries, man. Right, thanks for coming on, Kenny. Right.
By the way, I really, really enjoyed that.
Aye, I really enjoyed that. Speak soon, man. Right.
See you later.
Touch, Kenny. Right.
See you later. Follow me again on Twitter. Bye.
You want to get yourself sorted for Mania? Let me tell you. Get yourself rigged out in Wrestling Daft merch. Here are the designs. The mark is here. With a pick of the Wrestling Daft belt, you've got Wrestling's Kid on, and the immortal quote from Amirto Hod Hogan, good night, Hulkamaniacs and Jabroni Marks without a life, they don't know how to work, when you work a work yourself into a shoot marks, so a t-shirt, you can get that there. Plus you've got Amatic the Dumpy, Chips, Cheese and Donna, mate, and Margaret Erefiend.
We need to get some more in there. I think there's a few catchphrases come over the last couple of months, maybe hurted my chest. I think
that's a good one. Don't need royalties, but
are you kidding me? Would be quite a good one as well.
Okay. Any more?
I can't think any more. You got anything?
Look at that. We've got hoodies, face masks, phone covers, trucker caps, bum bags, and aprons at shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/wrestlingdaft. So check out the range. I'll check out the links on the Facebook page or on Twitter. It's at wrestlingdaft.
You just made the list!
It's a bit like a shopping list, and it's about wrestling, and we rank stuff. So it's nothing like a shopping list. It's the list of Wrestling Daft. You can vote for what you want us to talk about, remember, on this list at patreon.com/WrestlingDaft. It's WrestleMania week, so we had to do best WrestleManias against worst WrestleManias. And with 83%, it was the best that won. Am I not allowed to say WrestleMania 17?
No. You can't see because that's.
I think that's the known the world over that's the best one. Then is that the crack?
Yeah, that's too obvious. Everybody always says 17, so try and do it without just mentioning 17. Your top three,
right? Okay. Without mentioning WrestleMania 17, Grado, he's a horn here. What's your favorite? Tell me your favorites first, right, before I. Because so I'm trying to decide between two here and. And
right, like,
two
obviously, positions. I loved. Right, WrestleMania 17, right? I fucking loved that. But you know what I loved in it? I was talking to John Affair, right? What was the WrestleMania? Was it WrestleMania 31? I quite liked that. In fact, you know what?
31 was Seth Rollins cashing.
Right, that was cool. But the best thing about that for me in terms of WrestleMania moments, I just remember that sitting watching with the boys and watching Triple H and Sting and thinking, wow, man, Triple H and Sting, this is cool, Triple H and Sting. And then the NWA music comes on and then it's like fucking, was it NWA that came out first?
I think so.
DX came out first and then NWA, wasn't it?
Is that what it was?
I think it was.
Maybe you're right. Whatever it was, right? Say it was DX that came out first. And I remember, right, obviously because I watched it with Noam and Shah. And it's funny because like me and Shah have all got the same favourites for back in the day, right? You know, for the attitude there and that. Whereas Noam's favourite is like Eddie Guerrero. You know, Eddie Guerrero being the champ and Chavo and Edge and all that, right? That's his kind of scene. And I remember when DX came out and we're all going, way. And Noam going, NWO's coming up next. I can see it. And I'm going, shut up. Northern, no. Shut up. You don't know the... I was like, to the BS.
It's such a mark, man.
I feel stupid after talking about that.
Why? Don't feel stupid. Right, so I'm not allowed to say WrestleMania 17, right? So I've got to say, in number three... think it has got to be. I think it's going to be WrestleMania 20.
Nah.
I think it's going to be WrestleMania 20 because the ending of WrestleMania 20, obviously, listen, I loved Eddie Guerrero, you know. I loved Eddie Guerrero, and the WrestleMania 20 ending was just emotional, very beautiful ending. And I think people forget also about how great that main event was in WrestleMania 20. People don't like to talk about how great that main event was, but that was a great main event.
Well, you had Eddie Guerrero, Kurt Angle on that card as well, didn't you? Mm-hmm.
Which is one of the greatest matches. Yeah. One of the greatest WrestleMania matches ever in that match. And you also had, right, which is just one of the most entertaining things I've ever watched at WrestleMania, Lesnar and Goldberg.
Oh, mate, love it. I love getting back to watch that.
Lesnar and Goldberg is in that.
Jericho was on that card as well. I've just looked that up. It was Christian Jericho.
Christian and Jericho, yeah.
A brilliant match.
Mm-hmm.
There was a Rotten Sock connection in against Evolution.
Yeah,
you're right. Yeah, but it's the one Cena was fucking flinging Big Show about as well.
Wow, what an opener. That was one of the best WrestleMania openers. That was when we won his first title. So, and Ultimo Dragon falling in his hair, so now I remember that.
Aye, so I'm going to say WrestleMania 20. Right, and then I think, boys, I have to go for in my number two spot. I'm going to have to go for WrestleMania 4. Because when I was a wee guy, it's not one of the most popular WrestleManias at all, but when I was a wee guy, see that tournament for the title was one of the most exciting things I'd ever seen. Right, when I was a wee guy and I watched that in video, WrestleMania 4. It was one of the most exciting things seeing that tournament. And I was, I liked Macho Man. And so it's just the tournament structure of that was, I remember when I was a wee guy, I would talk about that all the time. Aye, WrestleMania 4 was a tournament for the champion. And now that I'm older, I don't even really like tournaments. But when I was a wee guy.
Double VHS, wasn't it? I remember.
It was 4 hours long.
It was like the double VHS, because you went to the video shop and there was WrestleMania 1, 2, 3, and then WrestleMania 4 was the double VHS bad boy.
Do you have to pay extra?
I can't remember.
No, you didn't have to pay extra for it. You didn't have to pay extra for it. But I really, really like that one.
That's mad.
And then I have to say my number one is probably going to have to be... It's going to have to be WrestleMania 14, I think, ultimately.
Yeah. 14? Who is 14?
Tyson and Austin and Michaels and...
Because that was the one that... I was a WCW guy. I was a Nitro guy, right? And then WrestleMania 14 was kind of just... That was the moment where I was like, man, I'm a Stone Cold fan. Like, I am all in on this. You know what I mean? It just felt like... And it's the WrestleMania that felt like the mace to me, like, this is the industry changing in a massive way. It's like the war is on now, man. This is some serious business.
It's and sort of like that end of Shawn Michaels.
Aye.
For years he's on top with Brett, Sid, Taker, and then it just goes whoosh.
And he's the ultimate kind of wee pretty boy Wido. Mm-hmm. And just seeing that happen. And again, it's one of the ones where it's not the best WrestleMania matches wise at all. That's not what I'm saying. I'm kind of going here for just ones that had a big impact on me. That's what I'm saying, like the tournament of WrestleMania 4 and then the meaning of WrestleMania 14. Because I'm struggling even to remember that many of the other matches for WrestleMania 14.
Looking at the card just now, some fucking terrible matches on it. Mark Miro and Sable defeat the artist formerly known as Goldust and Luna Vash.
Hold on, I was a big fan of that artist formerly known as Goldust stuff. You know what I mean? I thought that was good stuff. But of course, we know that the number one is actually WrestleMania 17, so this isn't fair. You've not allowed me to choose the fucking best one. But
What about 19? After 17, 19 is widely regarded as the next best one.
Aye, do you know what?
WrestleMania 19...
Rock that's your Austin. Hogan and Vince, that's your Lesnar and Angle, that's your Michaels and Jericho.
It's great. Aye.
That's a great shout. You've also got to, just for the fucking Undertaker and Taker match, you've got to go for WrestleMania 20. What was the one at the HUD with the white ropes, 2009?
Oh my God.
I'm rubbish.
26. No, right. 25. WrestleMania 25. WrestleMania 25. You've also got to take a wee nod. I liked WrestleMania 30 starting off with The Rock and Stone Cold and Hogan and all that. I loved that.
WrestleMania 30, Daniel Bryan in the first match, and then in the main event was a brilliant.
And you've also got the Taker Lesnar outcome.
Yes,
you've got that and all.
Yeah,
but also a wee, and this might sound horrific, but a special one to me is WrestleMania 2000. Now, I know it went down as a big fucking letdown. However, that was the first one I stayed up late to watch. Austin was coming back at the end, you know what I mean? Yep. Ice Cube sang Godfather in the ring. I loved all that. TLC one or the ladder match. I loved that. And it was also the first night that I ever tried a packet of mint munchies. What were they called back in the day?
Mentola. Mentola. That's called back in the day. That's worth remembering.
That's my favorite coming with
because that is special. But there's no doubt, I would say the WrestleManias recently, and match quality wise, have been way better. And you know, I love the WrestleMania Rousey and there with Triple H. Not There's too much to choose for. But so that's why I decided I'm going to go with just what jumps out in my memory is like the big moments. And I love when I was a wee guy, so excited by that tournament that they could do something like a WrestleMania. And you know, and without a doubt, just Austin and Tyson and just how exciting that time was and how big it was and how cool that time was. You know, I mean, it just felt so amazing. Anyway, let's see what the punters are hitting out with. Daniel says he can't split between 5 and 6 for his favourite manias. He loved the long-term story of the mega powers exploding and the rise of the Ultimate Warrior. It's prime Hulkamania as a 7-year-old, but he wanted Savage and Warrior to win. I wanted a wee shout-out here as well for WrestleMania 7, because I remember the Slaughter and Hogan stuff when I was a wee guy and the flamethrower and all that. Exciting.
That's the first one I really remember was everyone talking in the playground about Slaughter and Hogan with everything that went on with that.
Aye. Chris says fave mania is 19. Angle Lesnar was a great main event. Lesnar shooting star press aside. Austin's last match going out and he's back to The Rock. Triple H's burial of Booker T, talking point for years. And Hogan versus Vince was a spectacle. The documentary about it was incredible too. Andrew's favourite is WrestleMania 6. First one he remembers, and he was hooked on the Ultimate Warrior. Some great storytelling back in the day, and he loves 19 as well. And he said last year's was great in the circumstances. I agree with that as well. Last year's was a good one. This year's going to struggle to top that. Rico says, might just be the nostalgia talking, but I always enjoyed 18. I got the DVD with my pocket money about a month after the event happened, as we didn't have Sky, and my brother's pal forgot to set the VCR to tape it for us on the night. The card wasn't great, but RVD versus Regal, Undertaker versus Flair, and Rock versus Hogan were all fun to watch. Rock Hogan is just dynamite. Dean says, not going to say for a second that it's the best, but I have a real soft spot for 24. After not watching this year's, it was my first Mania back. After not watching for years, this is my first Mania back. JBL and Finlay was great fun. Memorable spots. Money in the Bank was brand new to me and was my first exposure to CM Punk. Flair and HBK was perfect. Taker and Edge to close was a great main event style match full of run-ins and bullshit. And Steven has always had a soft spot for WrestleMania 21 because it had Cena and Batista both becoming champs. A show-stealing classic between Angle and Michaels and a great opener between Eddie Guerrero and Rey Mysterio. That's a great match. And the first ever Money in the Bank ladder match. And Steven says WrestleMania 22, Edge versus Foley, no holds barred. And Rey Mysterio winning the world title for the first time, which he should never do because he's too wee. Right. Jan Kurek says WrestleMania 14. First one bought with Zayn money on VHS. Triple H versus Owen. LOD 2000 debuting with Sonny. Rocky deep in the Nation of Domination. Tag team dumpster match. First match of Kane and Undertaker. The start of one of wrestling's most underrated feuds. Kane and Pete Rose. Then the match that really hooked him into wrestling. Michaels versus Austin with Iron Mike enforcing. Was a great WrestleMania.
Nice one, John.
And listen, even though matches weren't great and all that, it was exciting seeing LOD 2000 walking out with Sonny and stuff like that. It was like, it just felt like stuff was going on there.
Yep.
Buster A. Murdoch says, always thought Mania 31 gets overlooked. It was a great show. That was a great show.
It was a great show.
Stunning outdoor venue with greatest ever RKO, without a shadow of doubt. Rusev's tank, 100%. Ronda's debut with The Rock, aye. Intercontinental ladder match and a brilliant twist in the main event. Here. That's a great shout, by the way, WrestleMania 31.
Yeah, I said that.
Yeah.
Why did Nanias say that?
I did say that!
Why did Nanias shout out WrestleMania 31? Giza Gobbledygooker says, everybody always says 17, but I love 19. Jericho Michaels, Austin Rock Times, Brock trying to kill himself, Hogan McMahon was perfect, Vince's Crimson Mask and the Piper running. Venue as well was so different. Venue's important. Just a great show. There we go. That's your WrestleMania. And it's this weekend. I am so excited. We're going WrestleMania Daft on Patreon, by the way. Patreon.com/WrestlingDaft. This week you can get bonus episodes with ranking our favourite WrestleMania matches. Oh no, hold on. We are going WrestleMania Daft on Patreon.com/WrestlingDaft. This week you can get bonus episodes with us. You've got the Marks doing a WrestleMania preview. There's a big wrestling quiz along with a watch along for the first night on Saturday, and we'll be providing a wee bit of review content as well. So how do you get all this? Simply sign up as an IC champion above the cost of $10 a month and you get that extra content. You're supporting the boys. The boys being us boys here and the other boys on our and the Marks one as well. A load of boys. There's too many boys actually. Why is there no woman? How do you get all this? Sign up.
Are you laughing at?
I've said that already. You'll also get the video version of this show. You can see our beautiful faces and loads more content as we have, wait, you hear this, hundreds, no tens, no 15s, hundreds of exclusive posts up there already. So if you fancy that and becoming one of your patrons, sign up now at patreon.com/wrestlingdaft as we would love to welcome you to the roster. Now it's time for the Wrestling Daft Road Story. You send us your story and we act them out as if we were wrestlers on the way back for a show. That's how it works. So let's jump in the car. Me and Grado are on the way back for a match. So Grado, yeah, you took a bit of a beating tonight, eh?
About
eight. I thought you were only going to do any bumping tonight. Turns up and says to the promoter, I'm no bumping. And then comes to the match and you're bumping an hour a show. What happened?
I take a wee notion for it, Bab, to be honest with you.
Sometimes you need to get the blood rushing through you, didn't you?
You didn't do much tonight, did you?
Nah, I had an easy night. I was tagging with Tamina Snooker, right? Just me and Tamina. She did most of the work, you know what I mean?
You're brought together, mate.
Do you know what Dan murdered Sunday?
What?
Do you know what Dan murdered Sunday, allegedly?
Oh, I don't think that's true.
No, is it not true? All right, cut that bit out, then, John. So, let me tell you something, right? I told this to Tamina earlier, right? Back in the day, when we were still at school. That seems like all our stories are about our school days, right? But back in the day when we were still at school, me and my two pals, Sean and Jordan. Right? No Jordan there. No Katie Price.
No.
There's a boy called Jordan. Used to enjoy having sleepovers. It's a pity, wasn't it, Katie Price? You know what I'm saying, boys?
I'm saying, mate.
We watch old WrestleManias, or just old events in general, you know what I mean? We would watch old events, you know what I mean? Like some of the Nuremberg Rally or something. Part of the ritual beforehand, right, was an outing to the world-famous, world-renowned, I don't know if you've heard of this, the China Buffet King. This establishment in Glasgow city centre. There's a kind of Chinese buffet concern. We then detour past Asda for mere munchies, not by road to stick the event on. We like to watch an event, you know. So this particular time we're at my ma's and we're watching an event. It's maybe 2 a.m. We have a bright idea that we should sneak out, right, to do the backs.
Aye.
Now, for those of you that don't know, right, I know some snobby bastards listening to this programme, right, so for those of you that don't know, right, day in the back's a sport mainly played by young boys where you just get in somebody's back garden and go for garden to garden out of fences and that, right, class. That's how we entertained ourselves before all these PlayStations. We've ended up in back gardens near my mate Sean's house and we're climbing up this big fence, right, and Jordan's made it out, right, okay, Price, it's a boy called Jordan, made it out. Sean's going next, but he stops halfway. And he looks at me with a look I will never forget. It's burned into my memory, this look. And he goes, mate, I need a fucking shite, he says. And I laugh, right, to which he replies, no, mate, seriously, I really need. So I pointed to the corner of the garden we're in, right, and I said, go there. And to my surprise, he jumps down and he races to the corner and he pulls his scants down and lets rip. You could hear the sheer velocity of this thing, mate. It was something to behold. Jordan jumps back over the fence at this point, right? No Katie Price, right? It's boy called Jordan. Jumps back over the fence, and we are absolutely pissing ourselves in disbelief. We can't believe what he's just done, right? He finishes up, and we wonder, how's he going to wipe his arse, right? And he proceeds to crab walk Trousers round the ankles. Out of this back garden, right? Crab walks right down onto the street, right? Up the street a bit, and Crab walks right into his ma's house. Absolutely tremendous. I still wonder what the people thought when they looked in their back garden to see a definite human shite lying there. I'm always hoping to get a wee bit of food. I'm right in the mood for a burrito after that. So that story came from Big Chris. Thanks, Big Chris, for that story.
Cheers, Big Chris. At least it was no come involved. I don't know if the come ban is up. Is the come ban up?
The come ban is up. And thanks very much for everyone sending their stories. We've got loads. We'll promise we'll get through them in the next couple of weeks because there's loads fun in. But keep them coming. Keep them coming.
And by the way, the come ban being up doesn't mean we want you fucking cover as well.
Have a wee come. Motion for come.
Right, well, that's everything. For this episode of Wrestling Daft, we need to choose a listener of the week. Who is the person that shouted out WrestleMania 31? Because they should get recognised for that, because none of us had thought of WrestleMania 31.
I've done enough to him then. I would imagine they've done well.
So who was that? Who said about WrestleMania 31?
Buster A. Murdoch.
Buster A. Murdoch, you are the listener of the week. It's been a great show. It's been great to be back on the show now that I'm half vaccinated. Grado, before you go, what are you looking forward to for WrestleMania?
The eagle. I love the eagle. There's always an eagle to start. There's always a big flapping about floppity floppity big American flag.
Does it give you a right boost when you see that eagle?
Oh, it gives me an offer boost.
So if you want more content, get us on the Patreon, get our merch, do all this stuff, show support for the boys. We're about for a long haul. We'll watch WrestleMania and we'll talk about it next week. Thanks so much for listening. Grado, up the road now.
It's yourself here, yeah! 11! Walter! Audio Frontier.